Let's open our Bibles together to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the letter to the Philippians. We're coming to the end of our preaching through Philippians, closer to the end. We're in chapter 4, and you may find that in the Pew Bibles on page 1351, 1351. And we'll begin reading at verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10, we'll read to the end of the chapter, the end of the letter. This is the word of God. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open if you're able, and we'll be focusing this morning on the verses 11 through 13. 11 through 13 is our text. I'll read those words again. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to that portion in Paul's letter where he gets to one of the purposes for his writing, one of the reasons for which he had taken up his pen to write to the church at Philippi. We recall that this church was established when Paul and Silas were there beginning to preach the gospel down by the riverside, and Lydia and her household received the things that were spoken by Paul. The Lord opened up Lydia's heart to receive those things, and she was converted to Christ, and that was the beginning of the life of the church there. That's recorded in Acts chapter 16. A lot has happened since then. The Apostle Paul has gone about his missionary journeys, and now the Apostle Paul is writing to that growing church in Philippi from his perspective, from his place as a prisoner in chains in Rome, under the oversight of Caesar's palace guard. You had a little hint of that at the end of our reading here when he speaks of those who are of Caesar's household, the saints who are of Caesar's household. There's a little clue for us there that while the Apostle Paul was in chains to Caesar's palace guard, he kept on preaching the gospel, and some of them became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he's there in prison, He is still getting help from the church at Philippi. And now he wants to emphasize that in this last portion of Philippians chapter 4. He wants to make sure that he is expressing deep gratitude to them for the fact that when they had opportunity, they cared for him. They provided for his needs. They were concerned for him. And we're going to look into that a little further next time, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day, in terms of what it teaches us about the blessing of giving and how we are to give and how we're enabled to give by God's mercy to us in Christ. But the verses 11 through 13 are a bit of an interjection, a bit of an aside, so to speak, that the Apostle Paul makes sure to speak or to write to them. In the face of speaking to them of his deep gratitude for them, he wants them to understand, nevertheless, it's not as though I needed it. He wants them to know that he is content. He wants them to know that he is not all about the money. He's not all about the help and the assistance. He wants them to know that in the confidence he has in Jesus, in the blessing that is his in belonging to Jesus, he knows that he would be okay. And so in the course of all of the difficulties that he is presently experiencing, he can still speak to them of the blessing that he has learned to be content. He has learned to be content. Now, boys and girls, do you know what it is to be content? Do you know what that means? I would submit to you that many of us have a lot to learn about what it is to be content, but what are we talking about when we talk about being content? It is being able to say, you know what? No matter what happens, no matter what I'm experiencing right now, whether it's very, very good things or very, very hard things, I am able, by God's grace, to say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I am okay, and not because I am strong. I am okay because of Christ who strengthens me. Things are well. It is well with my soul. I am in God's hands, and God is good. God is good, as they say, all of the time. And that applies to right now and the difficulties we are experiencing as well. So that's what it is to be content. Paul says, I have learned the blessing of being content. Now, that's important for us. We might say, well, we've been looking together here throughout this last chapter when Paul is writing from Rome. Here he is speaking of the need to rejoice always, be anxious, never pray always. All of those things we've looked at. He's spoken about the blessing of having a peace that passes understanding and being guarded and kept in that blessing through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now you might say the whole aspect of contentment is just another angle on that. But we do well, nevertheless, to focus in on what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. Because I believe if you're anything like me, this is something you still need to learn. We're still learning the blessing of contentment. And we're still affected by the world around us that screams discontentedness, that screams discontent, that brings up complaint after complaint. So Paul is making sure that as he is thanking them for their generous care for him, you understand that I'm not a complainer. You understand that I'm not going to give you a list of complaints about how difficult it is for me here. And the Apostle Paul, in doing so, is not blowing his own horn. He's not tooting his horn to say, look how impressive I am and look how content I am. His confidence here is in Jesus, and he wants all the glory to go to Jesus. And he wants them to understand, it's not so much that I have received this gift of financial aid. It's not even so much that I have received over time a gift of contentedness. It's the blessing that I may know the giver of every good and perfect gift. It's the blessing that I may live in sweet fellowship with God through Jesus, and I know because of Jesus things are well with my soul. Now, when we speak of contentedness as something we need to learn, I think we can all relate. So let me preach the Word of God to you this morning, learning to be content with these three headings. We're going to look at the school of contentment, we're going to look at the secret of contentment, and the service of the contented, those who are content in the Lord Jesus. The school of contentment is an important thing. Many of us, if we're honest, would say, you know what, I would be happy if, or I will be happy when. And then we have all of these things that trouble us dearly in the world around us, and we say, just get that out of the way, and that out of the way, and that out of the way, and then I'm going to be content. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. You know, if we could just have things back to the way they were, say a couple years ago, before all of the frustrations that have been brought upon us in God's providence in the days of COVID. If we could just go back to the way things were, then we'd be happy, if only. But that's not the contentedness that the Apostle Paul speaks of. And he speaks here at verse 11. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned in whatever state. So we need to come to the realization it's not the circumstances that we're in that enable us to be content or not to be content. Paul says, in whatever state, whatever the circumstances, whether they're really good or whether they're really bad, I have learned to be content. Now, it's important for us to appreciate what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here. This is something we're still learning and can acknowledge by God's grace. As old as we may become, we would not necessarily say, I have arrived and I'm such a contented person. We're still learning. It is a life process. It goes on and on. Now, there are people who are naturally of a quieter spirit than others. And you may look at some such people and say, well, that's a very contented person. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Because if you are but naturally so-called contented, but you get yourself into circumstances or you find yourself in circumstances like the Apostle Paul was in, under house arrest, chained to the palace guard in Caesar's household, then it's not always so easy to be content in everything. Contentedness is also not something that is just zapped into you, and all of a sudden you are a contented person and everything is easy in your life. Paul said, I had to learn that. And you learn that often by way of things you would not have perhaps asked for, things you would not have expected. There's the anecdote, the story of a young pastor who was speaking with an elderly pastor, a seasoned, mature pastor, about his own struggles in the ministry. This young pastor was struggling deeply with the ability to be patient. I just need help to be patient. I ask that you will pray for me so that I may be more patient. I need to be patient with myself. I need to be patient with God. I need to be patient with the stubbornness sometimes of the flock of God entrusted to my care. I need patience. Would you please pray for me? So the elderly pastor says, let's do that right now. Lord God, compassionate, long-suffering, loving, kind, gracious, and tender, would you give this man trouble? Would you give him hardship? Would you give him trials? Would you give him opposition? And the young man blurts out, would stop? Would you please stop? That's not what I asked for. I asked that you'd pray for patience. And the old man says, well, how do you think the Lord is going to develop that gift of patience in you? Now, I'm not sure that we should pray in exactly the way the old man is said to have prayed. But you see here that you learn the blessing of contentedness through various circumstances and difficulties the Lord brings you through in the course of life. It was that way for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is on death row, so to speak. The Apostle Paul has the sense that his life is perhaps drawing to a close. He's going to die a martyr's death eventually, for the sake of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul does not die a restful, peaceful life on some Mediterranean island resort. Unless you consider his time shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta, a tropical vacation. It wasn't that. And here he is in prison. But you do not find him complaining. You do not hear the Apostle Paul saying, Lord, I've served you. I've given my all for you. I've given my life for the sake of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. All of my cares have been for the well-being of the church, and this is how you reward me? Here I am locked up in chains and struggling. You don't hear that from the Apostle Paul. Now again, we're not tooting his horn, neither would he toot his own. His confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are to learn the blessing of contentment in the same way in the face of whatever circumstance the Lord brings us through. We're in school, you could say. We're always in school learning from God in terms of the way that He is dealing with us. And He may, in His wisdom, bring us through difficult things that we find very hard to deal with. But we need to live with the confidence that our God, who has set His love upon us, knows what He's doing. The curriculum for our education, for the school that we're in, the lesson plans have been designed by the Father who loves us and who knows what He's doing. And He is keeping us in His love and care. It's school. Now, some of us are better at book learning than others. It's good for us to be readers, good for us to learn from what we can read. Ultimately, of course, reading the Word of God. Meditate on these things we saw earlier in what we've seen at verses 8 and 9. Remember that? Be thinking Christians. Be those who set your minds on things above. And there are many good books that you can read, even about contentment. Many old books, like the book of Jeremiah Burroughs, a Puritan, the rare jewel of Christian contentment. We could be blessed by reading a book like that. But the blessing of learning in the school of contentment is not always by book learning. There can be people with a PhD education, having gone through years and years and years of schooling at university and all of those things and having many degrees behind their name, who just easily pick up and understand intellectual concepts but don't know the first thing about contentment in the Lord Jesus. They're not even in kindergarten yet. And you probably also know some, and I could point to some, by the grace of God, in our own congregation, elderly among us, who perhaps don't have more than an eighth grade education, who through the course of the Lord's dealings with them, know something very rich about the blessing of contentment, and we can learn from them. But this is an ongoing need that we have. I must learn. We must be in school. And we must learn the perspective of being able to say when things are going really well or when things are going really badly and when we're struggling with all the things around us, asking the question, Lord, what are you teaching me in the school of contentment today? Lord, what are you teaching me in this circumstance? What do I need to learn? How do you do that? The second thing we see here is the secret of contentment. The secret of contentment. When we speak of the secret of contentment, we're not speaking about a magic formula or a magic phrase that we can use, a certain prayer that we can pray, a certain incantation that we can recite to God. The Apostle Paul is very straightforward when he tells us here the secret. The secret is Jesus. The secret is the blessing that he speaks about in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the blessing. The blessing is found only in Jesus. Now, as we look at verse 13, we see that that is a verse that sometimes gets ripped out of context, and people apply this in very silly and selfish ways. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't suggest to us that now we can say, I am Superman. I can do whatever I please. I'm stronger than a locomotive. I'm faster than a speeding bullet, and I can leap over tall buildings in a single bound. That's not what this verse is about. This verse is about the service of God. This verse is about living in the joy that I belong to Jesus Christ. And I go through life with Jesus Christ alongside of me. It's Jesus Christ who is in me, and I live for Him, for the glory of God. So when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it's not teaching us what we might call the prosperity gospel. The idea that says, everything is going to go so smoothly for you, your business is going to be a thriving success, you're never going to face any difficulties, I can do all things, I can do whatever I want, I'm going to be the top salesman at work without having to lift a finger, I'm going to get the best grades in my schooling without ever having to open a book. That's not what the teaching is here. The teaching is the blessing of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. That's the situation Paul was talking about. In whatever state, I know how to be abased. That is, I know how to be put down, and I know how to be abased and to abound everywhere. And in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul's encouragement here was not in terms of the circumstances. You know, we can have a full church or an empty church. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We don't look at the circumstances, we look to Jesus. What is Paul speaking about when he speaks of through Christ, what he has through Christ? Literally, the language he uses here is language that we've seen again and again and again, the blessing of being in Christ. I belong to Jesus. My life is found hid with Christ in God. I am okay. I am at peace. I have confidence for today and for tomorrow and for every day because I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that God looks at me in love. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that God sees me as though I'd been as perfectly obedient as Jesus has been in my place. So it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that enables me to live for Christ. I live for Christ in the confidence that comes from belonging to Christ. Think of Romans 8, verse 32. The blessing that I can do all things is found in the knowledge that God did not spare His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. How shall we not also, therefore, live in the confidence that we receive all things from Him. Everything we need is sure to be ours in Jesus. So, the secret again is found in a strong confidence in Jesus. I'm the vine, you are the branches, John 15, verse 5. If you abide in me, the Lord Jesus says, you will be able to walk in the way that I please. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With Jesus Christ, we can do what we're called to do. And we live in the confidence of knowing Jesus will not leave or forsake us. Again, Matthew 10, 31. If you confess me before the world, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. We are effectively saying to the world, I am with Jesus. And we know that Jesus is saying of us and saying to his Father who is in heaven, and I am with them. I am with you. So the confidence we have is developed in terms of living in sweet communion with Jesus Christ. The secret is found in knowing I have Jesus Christ. Paul is saying here, I can have a little or I can have a lot. I can be full or I can be hungry. I can abound and I can suffer need. But I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. He had spoken in chapter 3 in terms of the blessing he had come to know in Jesus Christ. 3 verse 8, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul is saying, I know Jesus. I may be locked up in chains to the palace guard of Caesar, but I am full. And I abound because I have Jesus. You don't have to worry ultimately about me. Things are good. God is good. My life is in his hand. So the secret for all of us is found in the confidence we have in Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. Jesus is the secret. Do you struggle with contentment? Do you find yourself frustrated, afraid, complaining, bitter? Look to Jesus. Be reminded again of what you have in Jesus, who we have become through faith in Jesus. There's the secret. It's not a magic formula, not magic words to speak. Our hope is found in Jesus. Pursue the blessing of the sweet communion we have with God because of Jesus. And you will more and more be able to say with Paul, I've learned the secret. I've learned to be content. Then that leads us in the third place to speak of the service of the contented. It's important for us to speak a little bit about this in the third place this morning, because there's the danger that we see contentedness as kind of just a quiet concern for nothing. Contentedness, as is described here by Paul, contentedness in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not necessarily a carefree life. You've probably met people who care about nothing, are bothered by nothing, don't get anxious about anything, are never concerned about any circumstance, they just sort of are there. That's not what the Apostle Paul is urging upon us here. There needs to be in our lives a sense in which things do bother us at times. When we look at the world around us, there should at times in our lives be a holy discontentedness with the way in which the world screams, we will not have King Jesus to rule over us. When we look at our life together as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be very grateful for the goodness of God to us in the gospel. But there can and should be in our lives as well, as we look at ways in which we may serve the Lord better, perhaps ways in which we sometimes fail. There should be a holy discontentedness when we think about these things in our lives. I say holy discontented so that we are not people who are always complaining, always nitpicking, always looking for something to be concerned about. Not that. But there should be in us a desire to serve God with an eagerness and in a better way tomorrow than we did yesterday, a holy discontentedness. Whether that applies to the world, to the church, to our own families, to our own life before the face of God. There should be a holy discontentedness about our relationship with God. It's not what it should be. And so there is an urgency to honor God in the lives that we lead. Last time when we looked at verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul left us with an example, he said. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And now in verse 13, he uses the same little two-letter word in our English translations, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So contentedness does not mean sleepiness. Contentedness does not mean laziness. Contentedness does not mean do nothing. The contentedness that we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ is for the sake of service. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Apostle Paul had it bad, you could say, worse than any of us can probably imagine. And yet he was content. But the Apostle Paul was content. Nevertheless, he was still busy. He's writing letters to the churches from prison, because he's concerned for the well-being of the churches. He's still engaged in the work of an apostle, and he will be until the day he dies. Contentedness is for service. And we also are to learn over against the idea, you know, I'll be happy when, or I'll be content when. I would be happy in the Lord if, and then we may name off the things that have to change. We learn from the Apostle Paul that contentedness is something that we can enjoy now. Paul could speak of it when he was in prison, in the worst of circumstances. And I believe that's a challenge for us. We may find ourselves frazzled a little bit with the fact that circumstances around us are not what we want them to be, and they're not what they used to be, and they're not what they ought to be. And yet, we are able to say, by the grace of God, I have learned to be content. We may find that blessing in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul says. And just to reach ahead a little bit, lest any of us say, well, that's easy for Paul to say. He was an apostle. Paul will go on and make sure that we don't take that escape route, because you would add to verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, what he says in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not just me, you. All those who are in Christ. And so the blessing of serving God, living for the glory of God, is something we are enabled to do, and we could say happily, with a measure of joy and happiness in the knowledge I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be abased. I can be put down. I can experience bad things. And I can abound. I can be lifted up and exalted. I can be rich and full. And maybe that is something that we have not learned well. How do we have so much? How have we had so much? And have we lived with joy in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has our focus been on Him? Well, here's an opportunity for us to learn and keep learning that perspective as we look to Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mercy we have come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the confidence we may have as we rest in what he has done for us. And we thank you that we may live in the joy that we go through the challenges of life, not on our own, but with Christ. Lord Jesus, you will not leave or forsake us. Lord Jesus, as we confess you before men, you are confessing us before your Father in heaven. And we thank you that we are enabled, therefore, to be the people you call us to be. We confess, Lord, we are easily disgruntled. We too often complain. We pray that you'd help us to know the difference between a holy discontentedness and a selfish, lazy focus upon ourselves. In the language, the words of the so-called serenity prayer, Father, we pray that you would give us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And Lord, help us as we pray this prayer to live in the joy of knowing we belong to Jesus and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In his name we pray. Amen.